Powerful time with Jason and Jackie Heisted. We're just so thankful they could come. Now, in the next couple of weeks, I'd like to explore with you the theme of advancing the kingdom of God through creative dominion and also through the power of sound. But before we get into advancing the kingdom of God, I really sensed in my heart to remind us of a few foundational truths. Ones we've all heard before, but sometimes we just need that reminder. There are many, many scriptures that talk about the kingdom, especially in the book of Matthew. And one we all know, I'm sure we could quote it by heart, is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added to us. We won't take the time to explore all those scriptures, but there's something that I felt we really needed to focus in on this morning as a foundation to what I'd like to talk about in the next couple of weeks. First of all, question. What is the kingdom of God? Any thoughts? There you go. That's exactly where I was going. Romans 14, verse 17. The kingdom of God is not a matter of food and drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Hear that again. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy, and it's in the Holy Spirit. A number of months ago, I plugged into the book of Romans for a number of weeks. And the Holy Spirit wrecked me in a real good way as I pondered the truths I read, specifically the truth of righteousness. When we first came to Maranatha, which is a pretty long time ago already, there was an emphasis on righteousness being our identity in Christ and being righteousness conscious. It was taught in a way that I'd never heard before, and I found it incredibly life-giving and refreshing. Now, as I was reading the book of Romans again, Holy Spirit was breathing life on this theme once again to me. So we're going to be reading, or I should say, I'm going to be reading a lot of scripture. I didn't get it onto the PowerPoint. So Lord, we just say, open our ear gates, open our hearts, as we read scripture. Like I said, a lot of scripture, mostly having to do with righteousness and mostly in the Passion Translation. So I'm not even going to ask you to look it up because it sounds just so different in the Passion Translation. I just want to allow us to, I want us to allow the Word of God to wash over us. And the Holy Spirit to breathe life into us as we hear it. Holy Spirit, I thank you. You're here. You're within us. You're around us. You're in the atmosphere. And I thank you. You're the anointing within us that teaches us and leads us and guides us into all truth. So starting with Romans 3, verse 20. For by the merit of observing the law, no one earns the status of being declared righteous before God. For it is the law that fully exposes and unmasks the reality of sin. But now, independently of the law, the righteousness of God is tangible and brought to light through Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. This is the righteousness that the Scriptures prophesied would come. It is God's righteousness made visible through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. And now all who believe in him receive that gift. For there's no difference between us, for all have sinned, are in need of the glory of God. Yet through his powerful declaration of acquittal, God freely gives away his righteousness. His gift of love and favor now cascades over us, all because Jesus, the Anointed One, has liberated us from the guilt, the punishment, and the power of sin. The law never, never made anyone righteous. Ever. And they can't do it now. Verse 28. God's wonderful declaration that we are righteous in his eyes can only come when we put our faith in Christ and not in keeping the law. Romans 4, verse 5, but no one earns God's righteousness. It can only be transferred when we no longer rely on our own works, but believe in the one who powerfully declares the ungodly to be righteous in his eyes. It is faith that transfers God's righteousness into your account. We cannot earn it. We can only receive it. Romans 4, verse 6. Even King David himself speaks to us regarding the complete wholeness that comes inside a person when God's powerful declaration of righteousness is heard over our life. Apart from our works, his work is enough. Romans 5, verse 1. Our faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to us, and he now declares us flawless in his eyes. Romans 5, verse 9. And there is still much more to say of his unfailing love for us. For through the blood of Jesus, we have heard the powerful declaration, you are now righteous in my sight. Romans 5, verse 16b. For because of one transgression, we are all facing a death sentence with the verdict of guilty. But this gracious gift leaves us free from our many failures and brings us into the perfect righteousness of God, acquitted with the words, not guilty. Romans 6, verse 18. And now you celebrate your freedom from your former master, sin. You've left its bondage, and now God's perfect righteousness holds power over you as his loving servants. Notice how often the phrase, God's powerful declaration, came up. Did you hear it? And what does he declare? Righteous. Perfect righteousness. Flawless. Not guilty. It's almost like you can see him like the judge in the court of heaven putting down his gavel. Not guilty. We need to hear this declaration. Our souls, minds, wills, and emotions need to hear. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Shame, guilt, rejection, condemnation, and other negative emotions can be held in different locations in our body. I believe even our bodies need to hear that declaration of perfect righteousness. Then in Ephesians 1 verse 4 it says, and he chose us to be his very own, joining us to himself even before he laid the foundation of the universe. Because of his great love, he ordained us as one with Christ from the beginning so that we would be seen as holy in his eyes with unstained innocence. One morning as I was spending time with Jesus and meditating on these scriptures about righteousness and innocence, I was just struck with this thought. This righteousness means I am innocent. It's almost unbelievable. How can that be? I had this sense that I've been restored to childlike innocence. At the very core of my being. Can that be? The dictionary meaning of innocent is freedom from guilt or sin. Now listen to this. Through being unacquainted with evil. I also looked up guiltless. And it means to lack experience or familiarity with something. Or you could say lacking experience with evil. So at the very core of our being, the very who we really are, we are innocent. We are unfamiliar with evil. We are unacquainted with evil, untainted by evil, untainted by sin, by death, by corruption. A while back, I read a book of a man who was killed in an airplane crash, and he spent some time in heaven, but then came back to life. What struck him while there was heaven was totally free from all contamination of sin and of evil. That's almost unimaginable, isn't it? Could this earth, could I be untainted with evil when you see all the evil on the earth? Can I be untainted on the inside? Innocent, like a child. Matthew 18, verses 2 and 3. And he called a little child to himself and put him in the midst of them and said, truly I say to you, unless you repent and become like little children, you can never enter the kingdom of heaven at all. Here's that scripture in the Passion. Learn this well. Unless you dramatically change your way of thinking and become teachable and learn about heaven's kingdom realm with the wide-eyed wonder of a child, you will never be able to enter it at all. Whoever continually humbles himself to become like this gentle child is the greatest one in heaven's kingdom realm. I believe here's this invitation to come learn about heaven's kingdom realm with the wide-eyed wonder and innocence of a child. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God made the only one who did not know sin, he didn't know evil, he was completely the innocent lamb, he made him to become sin for us so that we who did not know righteousness might become the righteousness of God through our union with him. This perfect righteousness, this innocence comes to us through our union with Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is mingled into one spirit with him. Awesome. So here's the second truth I want to emphasize today. Our union with Christ and the new life that comes to us through our union with him. And again, I'll be reading lots of scripture. Romans 6, verse 3. Have you forgotten that all of us who were immersed into union with Jesus, the anointed one, were immersed into union with his death? Sharing in his death by our baptism means that we were co-buried and entombed with him, so that when the Father's glory raised Christ from the dead, we were also raised with him. We have been co-resurrected with him so that we could be empowered to express an entirely new life. Could it be any clearer that our former identity is now and forever deprived of its power? Galatians 2 verse 20 in the Mirror translation says this: God made me alive together with Christ. How can any human effort improve on this? The term co-crucified and co-alive define me now. Christ in me and I in him. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Now if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new creation. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is new and fresh. Humanity has been co-crucified with Christ. This would include our old identity, our life of sin, the power of Satan, the religious works of trying to please God, our old relationship with the world, our old mindsets, all nailed to the cross. Those who believe and receive what Jesus has done by faith are co-made alive, co-resurrected. And we are not reformed or simply refurbished. We are not even restored to what Adam was before Adam sinned. We are made completely new by our union with Christ. Behold, a new order has come. Not only are we forgiven of our sin, we're forgiven of all our dead works of trying to please God, and we have been made sons. He's put a robe on our shoulders. That's royalty. A ring on our finger. That's a sign of authority, and sandals on our feet. In Hebrew culture, only sons wore sandals. Servants went barefoot. We're reconnected to Abba Father. He's welcomed us into his house. You're included. I want to know this morning, I want you to know this morning, you're in. You're in. You belong. You belong in the house. You belong in the Father's house. You're not excluded, ever. In Jesus' name, we remove off of you any sense of not belonging. You belong. We're born again into a new family with a new bloodline, a new heritage. And the affirmation that Jesus received from Abba Father is now our affirmation. We are his beloved sons in whom he is well pleased. We're in a brand new world with a brand new nature. Whatever I am now is not what I was. That same verse, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, in a different translation puts it this way: therefore, if anyone is in union with Christ, he is a new being, and that word is kainos. Kainos means a new kind, unprecedented, unheard of, never before heard of, uncommon, and novel. Jesus did not come here to create a newer replacement for the old fallen man. He came to destroy and end the old man and begin a brand new species of kainos design. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 44b to 49. The first Adam became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. The first man was from the dust of the earth. The second man is Lord Jehovah from the realm of heaven. The first one, made from dust, has a race of people just like him, who are also made of dust. The one sent from heaven has a race of heavenly people who are just like him. Once we carried the likeness of the man of dust. Do you hear that? Once. But now, so shall we, and so let us carry the likeness of the man of heaven. Now, in a lot of translations, you will read, so shall we, as if it's somewhere in the future. But many ancient manuscripts read, let us. So let us carry the likeness of the man of heaven. That's now, not in the sometime distant future. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. Henceforth, we do not think of anyone in merely human fashion. Do you say that? I'm just human. Henceforth, we do not think of anyone in merely human fashion. The person sitting next to you isn't human. Henceforth, we do not think of ourselves in merely human fashion. We are no longer in the first Adam. We are in Christ, the second Adam. We are seated with the DNA of God, an entirely new creation, superseding and eclipsing what existed before. The salvation message is so much more than a ticket to heaven when you die message. It is a union message. Separation has forever been canceled at the cross. We have been reconnected back to Abba Father, brought into vital union with Jesus. The mystery of the gospel is not that we're going to heaven when or if we die, but we're joined in oneness with Abba Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. This is what he has longed for. Intimate union. John 17, 24. Father, I desire that they also whom you entrusted to me may be with me where I am, so they may see my glory. Again, not in some distant future. We are one with him, seated with him, and we have free access anytime and all the time to the realms of heaven, to the throne room. Have you heard the comment made sometimes in regards to someone? He or she is so heavenly minded that he or she is of no earthly benefit. Maybe you've made that comment. What if that's not true? Earth cannot change earth. Only heaven can change earth. We need to engage with the heavenly realms where we are seated in order to release heaven into the earth. As Bill Johnson says, the realm that you're most aware of is what you'll release. Consider Paul's exhortation in Colossians 3, verses 1 to 4. If then you've been raised with Christ, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the treasures that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, the superior reality, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your new, authentic life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in his glory. I love the mirror translation of that passage. You are, in fact, raised with Christ. See yourselves co-raised with Christ. Now ponder with persuasion your co-inclusion in him. Relocate yourself mentally. Engage your thoughts with throne room realities where you are co-seated with Christ in the executive authority of God's right hand. Becoming affectionately acquainted with throne room thoughts will keep you from being distracted again with the earthly realm. Your union with his death broke the association with that world. See yourselves located in a fortress where your life is hidden with Christ in God. That exact life in Christ is being exhibited in us. We are being co-revealed in the same bliss. We are joined in oneness with him. And just as his life reveals you, your life reveals him. Occupy your mind with this new order of life. You died when Jesus died. Whatever defined you before defines you no longer. Christ defines you now. It is the unseen eternal realm that has our full attention and captivates our gaze. Again, a quote from Bill Johnson, we cannot afford to have one thought about ourselves that Abba Father does not have about us. Ephesians 2 verse 6. He raised us up with Christ, the Exalted One, and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm. For we are now joined as one with Christ. Not only were we co-crucified with him and co-resurrected with him, we're also co-ascended with him. Do you know Satan said, I will ascend to the heavens? It was like, I'm going to do this. Jesus took us there with him. Ephesians 3 verse 6. Here's the secret he revealed to me. The gospel of grace has made you non-Jewish believers into co-heirs of his promise of glory through your union with him. And now you have become members of his mystical body, one with the Anointed One and one with each other. Ephesians 4 verse 24, and you will be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within as your new life and live in union with him. For God has recreated you all over again in his perfect righteousness, and you belong to him in the realm of true holiness. Ephesians 22 verse B, Ephesians 2 verse 22b, God is transforming each one of you into the Holy of Holies, his dwelling place, through the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. I propose to you that creation is not longing for the return of Jesus Christ. Although that's going to be awesome. I'm not negating that. All creation is groaning and longing for the revelation of the sons of light, for who we really are to be manifested. Creation is longing to be set free from its bondage to corruption. Creation is longing for its restoration to innocence, to be set free from its contamination with evil. When we fell, creation fell. Now we are the ones seeded with incorruptible seed. We are oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. We are called to rebuild the ancient ruins. We are called to raise up former desolations. We are called to renew the ruined cities, the devastation of many generations. It's time to arise and shine. For our light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. Rise in splendor and be radiant, for your light has dawned. Nations will be attracted to your light, your radiant light. We are the sons of light in the kingdom of light with the Father of light, clothed in the armor of light. Luke 17:21 says the kingdom is within you. This kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit is inside you and me. It's His good pleasure to give us the kingdom. I'd like to just do a little bit of an activation. If we could take just a couple of minutes to do that. Very short. I'd like us to just close our eyes. And picture a door, an open door into the heavenly realms. The door is open. You have access to the place where you are seated by the blood of Jesus. And I want you to just step through that door by faith into the heavenly realm. Relocate yourself mentally where you are already seated with Christ. You are surrounded with the angelic realm. You are surrounded with light, the pure, uncreated light of the Lord Jesus. Can you hear any throne room thoughts? Abba, Father, what do you want to say to your sons this morning? Is there a picture you want to show your sons this morning? Thank you, Jesus, that we're in you and you're in us. Thank you, we are seated with you in redeemed innocence with all the authority and perfection to be there. And thank you, Holy Spirit, you're transforming us from the inside out. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.